Well, although it takes a certain interest in this hobby, a certain desire to understand all the ins and outs of radio and antennas, propagation, and so on and so forth. But I have found that all kinds of people, not just one certain kind, but all kinds of people like this hobby. There's so many parts of it, you know, so many different parts. So I remember once I was invited over to a friend's house, another amateur, and when I got there, I thought I was, wow, I just didn't know what to think. He had three rooms in his house dedicated to the hobby. He operated his radios in one part. He repaired his radios in another part. And he built various things, antennas. He repaired, radios, and then some of the older ones. He had older ones with wooden cabinetry, you know. So when he finished repairing it, he would have to finish the wood case, which is a whole nother set of skills, you know. Anyhow, I just really, really enjoyed that day with him and spent probably around 5 or 6 hours there. I took full advantage. It's a good thing because about a year later, he left us. No fault of his own. It was just his time. And I got to know somebody in a special way. This hobby's good for that. KK4 JBQ.
Larry, I agree with you 100%. There's so many different things in this hobby that you can do. But, the occupations are varied. You got doctors and lawyers and ditch diggers and truck drivers, you name it. There's somebody out there in this hobby that's had that profession before, I would think. But it's a wonderful hobby, and it's been good to me. A very good Elmer for me and you was Mr. Ray, K4SUG. He made the statement more times than one. The license gives you an opportunity to operate, but it also is a license to learn. They said you can learn so much in this hobby, going in different directions, and he was really correct when he made that statement.
I got a little touch of I don't know what in my throat. And then also whenever you mention Ray, a world of stuff. It's different for you than it is for me. I'm sort of a latecomer to his acquaintance. I only knew him for perhaps 3 or 4 or 5 years. I don't know how much, but I always felt that that I was the fortunate one, that I was the lucky one, that I was in the right place at the right time to meet a gentleman like that. Some people, and maybe everybody figures this out after a period of time in their lives, but I think some people go by this and don't pay much attention. If you take care to notice, you will come across some people that you really should pay attention to, learn what you can from them, appreciate them while you have them, and because none of us are here forever, for sure. I don't know. I can't count the number of hams that I've known that I can't call up anymore. I can't just go over to their place and sit around with a cup of coffee and talk about, oh, everything, anything, and enjoy it. But I'm given to reflect a little bit. The older we get, the more of that we do, I think. But reflect on the good folks that I have been privileged to know and had the pleasure to spend some time with. Ray is one of them, for sure. One special time I had with him and Miss Edie, his wife, was when Donna was with me. And Ray took a real shine to Donna, and Donna did to Ray. And she talked for weeks. She talked, you know, off and on. She'd ask about Ray, how's he doing? When did you first meet him? And, you know, where's he from? And, you know, things like that. And so you just knew that she thought he was special, too. KK4JBQ.
KOS and Blue Ridge 2-meter net, KK4JBQ. Well, Larry, you know, we've had special people like that. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say of all the hams that I have met, I don't think, well, we're all special in some way, shape, form, or fashion, but just some seem to be a little more special, I guess, in some respects, but, you know, I don't know, I've met some wonderful, wonderful people in this hobby, and hope to continue on for a while yet. I'm not worm food yet, so when I get to be that, maybe somebody will have something nice to say about me.
Should only hope as much. Yes, indeed. And if you keep that attitude, it'll probably happen. You know, one thing that I've neglected over time is field day. And it's always something came up. I mean, just always. Matter of fact, you know, you were talking to me about Rod, and we kind of palled around the two of us when we were both on the executive board for the club. And we were going to the same place, so every once in a while we live close by, and every once in a while we'd give the other a ride, you know, there. And we'd have a chance to talk on the way there, do the meeting, do the club meeting, and then ride back, you know. So that's a whole lot of time. And so he had a few hobbies that were fascinating to me. He collected replica train cars, you know. And I grew up with Lionel trains, you know. But there are very seriously, you know, made to a certain scale. Anyway, it's a very complicated hobby. And he had a room full of this stuff, tracks, what he called dioramas. He would build up little storefronts, streets, intersections, traffic lights, stop signs, grocery stores, banks. You know, it's just and he'd set his, he had like four tracks running at one time. And it was just fascinating. I can't do it justice, the complexity of that big room full of train stuff. I like to set a train underneath the Christmas tree and see it go round and round and round underneath the Christmas tree. I like that. But this was another level, a wholly different thing. But that was one of his hobbies. He had a few guitars. He liked playing guitar, but he had a trouble. His left hand, the one that a right-handed person uses to chord the guitar, and his dad. It was an accident. His dad was he and his dad were chopping wood, and he would put the piece of wood up on the chopping block, and his dad would strike it with the axe, you know, and that's how they worked it. So the only problem with something like that is that you get something out of order, or you look the other way for a moment, and the tip of your little finger goes away, which is what happened to Rod. Thank you for indulging me. I know there's a lot of people don't care much about stories like that, but I'm not just entertained. It's a precious thing to have a memory like that for somebody who's gone on now and that you miss very much. Friendship is a marvelous thing to cultivate and take care of, you know. I know you felt that way about Ray, and I did too. There's a bunch of people like that in this hobby. Really nice folks. KK4 JBQ.
I remember Rod well. So KK4HXA, I believe it was. But he was a super, super fella. People ask me, they say, how do you remember all these call signs? I said, well, if you write about as much as I have over the last 20 years, you could probably remember them too.
Yeah, that's a good memory maker. Repetition, you might say, is a good memory maker. Earl, KK4HXB, was in the same testing session. They were just an A and a B apart. Earl's been with us again here just lately, and Earl, if you're listening, I didn't hear you check in, but if you're listening, it's good to have you back. KK4JBQ.
Called a couple of hams that we haven't heard from in a while. I've called them on the phone just to check on them, and it means the world to them to get a phone call, you know, and say, oh, well, I didn't think anybody missed me over there. You know, well, you are, you know, especially the ones that have checked in a lot and are, you know, pretty well regulars on here. And when they're not there, we miss them, like old Harry up there in Candler. He normally, if he's out of town, he normally gets on Echolink and checks in with us. But this particular time, he was out of town and was not able to get on Echolink. So we did miss him, though, because he wasn't here, right?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people don't do it. You keep a log when you call the net, for sure. I keep a log, too. It's not as replete with detail as yours is. It's not much more than the number that called, the date and time and such as that. You just have an idea if anything comes up that might be important. So I started a few years back keeping a little log. And it's part of the reason why I have paid some attention to short nets. Now, there's just a few reasons why a net might be so short that you don't get into the second half hour. But when you don't, it's almost always a net with very few check-ins. You know, down in the 20s or something like that. We've been blessed here on this net, on this frequency, every day of the year. That consistency brings people back, of course. But if you do keep a log, as I have kept a log, then some things stand out to you. You see things repeated. I don't put down call signs or names or things, but you hear it again and again, you know. And people become special to you. I can just, when somebody, just like you do, when you hear one or two words in the beginning of a check-in, you already know who it is. You already started to write, haven't you?
I do that quite frequently. Every time I sit down in front of the computer here, or in front of the radios. But Larry, I tell you something a lot of the newer hams don't know. Years ago, and I mean years and years ago, back probably before I got my license. I don't know if it was going on as much when I got my license as it was before then. But you've heard some of the older folks talk about call books. You used to have to write down every conversation that you had on the radio. Mark it down, who you talked to and when it was and that sort of thing. And I've gone, before my father-in-law passed away, I'd get some of his old log books, his call books, and go back and, he was a ham when I graduated high school, when I went in the Navy. And, he had them then. And since then, you know, somebody asked me, he said, well, do you know so-and-so? I said, no. Well, they used to be so-and-so and this, that, and the other. And I'd go over to my father-in-law's house and I said, Daddy, do you know this person? And I'd give him his call sign and he said, let's go find out. He'd go in there and pull his call books out. We'd go through them. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, he had talked to that individual that I was asking about. And most of them were silent keys.
You know, what added to the fascination that something like that presents, just as a side note, just something else that is pretty fabulous about the hobby, was how call signs used to be. If you lived in a certain area of the country, such as our, the few states that make up the four call area, you were going to have a four in your call sign. And if you got a vanity call, once that came along, one thing you couldn't change was the call area because that's where you lived. Now they just threw something into the fan. Well, back a few years ago, probably in the 90s, that's when a lot of liberals affected such things as your call area. Now you can be from anywhere. Carry it along with you if you want to. I understand how people can get attached, you know. So you happen to move out of the area, the call area. Now you can keep your call. Once upon a time, you had to get a different call. Move over into this area, and you had to get a four. Well, that helped out in a way, and now it's not that useful anymore. Let's say you meet somebody, you hear them on the radio, you're surprised when they're a nine, you know, or six. Six is a long way off. I think that's California. You might ask them, well, are you here? Are you visiting? You know, you already ruled out the fact that you're hearing them over the air. I mean, they're still in California, let's say, and you're hearing them here. That's not like this was before the internet entered the hobby as well. Oh, there's been so many changes. I got in some coming up on 14 years ago now, and that was just about the time that a lot of things changed. So I heard a lot of folks reminiscing about the way things used to be. And it's not just old people who talk that way. But that's a lot of us do. Anyhow. And there is, I listened to a podcast called This Week in Amateur Radio. And one of the features that that podcast has is a whole lot of history. And it's just terribly interesting to hear how, oh, for instance, how this hobby made it through World War II. At the beginning of World War II, the United States efforts in World War II, at the beginning, they restricted the activity that a ham could have. But it wasn't but a few months later after they began that they realized, oh, we'd better just shut this down. So I was surprised to learn that it was incumbent upon every ham in the beginning of World War II, every ham in the United States had to get a box or several boxes if they had a lot of the equipment, pack it up, seal it up, and put that special sticker on it, not to be opened until after World War II. I thought that's pretty fascinating. KK4JBQ.
That's on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KK4JBQ. Well, Larry, there are so many different aspects to this hobby, and it, oh gosh, it goes in all kind of different directions. Somebody asked me where the word ham came from. For amateur radio calling everybody a ham. And I went back and I did some research on it. There's a couple of different answers to that question. I won't get into them now, but it depends on who you talk to and what your search engine is. If it's a computer or a book or whatnot, as to what you find out.
One that I have heard of several years ago, and whenever I have an opportunity to read about reflections that go back that far, where the word ham came from, I have to read the thing through and find out this. There were several reasons, I'm sure, but one of them, a very interesting one, and one that people might be understandable that they'd overlook today, is that it had to do with CW, continuous wave, Morse code. Back in the day, when people were fond of Morse code, and you'd have, there was an expression. If you were very good with the code, you had a good fist. Okay? So, among hams themselves, if you were a little sloppy, how you send code, it's like having a unique accent in your conversation with spoken words. You could be identified by people who have an ear for it, you know. You could be identified, and you didn't have to give your call sign, give your name. Of course, you did have to, of course, but you would be recognized instantly by other hams. They called that your fist. Okay, so here it comes. Ham came from not being very good. Maybe this was in the beginning or it was hopeless for you to begin with. Don't know. But if you were ham-fisted, you didn't send code very well. So I can believe that one. I can really believe that that's where the word ham came from. Ham-fisted. KK4JBQ.
Into my collection. You're absolutely right. If when you learn the code and you sit there and listen to it long enough, there is a pattern, a rhythm to everybody. That, you know, this Well, this was back before the iambic paddles. Everybody had a straight key, and when you actually send Morse code with a straight key, you don't bend your wrist. You keep your wrist stiff. And you put your elbow on the table and your fingertips on the key, and you use your whole forearm, you know, from your hand down to your elbow. And, you can definitely tell who it is by the rhythm that they get in and that sort of thing. Well, you can even tell it with the iambic paddles, but it's easier to tell with a straight key.
Yeah, and I've also, while I haven't heard a lot of code, not as much as people who use it every day, I have read a lot about the various, let's call them machines, when it's not an iambic paddle, which that's more than machinery. I guess it is machinery too, but anyway, the Vibroplex was the first high-speed improvement, the design of the Vibroplex, and there are certain ways of using that where you have, there's a certain rhythm, or what I thought was interesting, someone with really good skills like N0TR, Tom, he has tremendous skills. He could probably tell whether it was a Vibroplex being used on the other side of the conversation. It has a certain swing. That's the word that always impressed me, that people describe it as a swing because of the way the Vibroplex is constructed. And there are some Vibroplex made one model that was vertical. It was not horizontal, but vertical. And that was more prone to have a swing to it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It sang with its own voice, you might say. I've got a great imagination. KK4JVQ.
Here's one for you. If you learn the code and use a little bit, I'll give you a Vibroplex. I've got one sitting here collecting dust.
I will put that in my things to remember. the code to be clear about it. I've even tried special classes. You know, they make special classes for slow learners. and I just have a difficulty hearing. How you can sort out at the speed necessary. It isn't just your ears. It couldn't be that alone. You could probably fix one thing, but several things combined makes a more difficult problem to solve. And I do have some sort of problem with solving the recognition at anything that approaches conversational speed. I'll say that's too dreary to take part in. Other folks would say, I feel like I've been drugged over the ground if you're sending less than 30 words a minute. Well, I guess I can understand that. I can talk fast, I can talk slow. But with the barriers that happen to people, I'm very sympathetic to the, just put it that way. I'm sympathetic to people who have the barriers that cause them to try and fail, try something else and fail, you know. So I will remember your offer, and if ever I can prove any kind of efficiency that would warrant it, that's a very generous offer. Gary. Thank you. KK4JBQ.
I've got a straight key that I enjoy using, and I've got a bench or ambic paddle here that I enjoy using, but I've tried to learn this Fiberplex, and I cannot do it. I can't get it adjusted properly, and there's something between it, between my hand and my brain, or somewhere in between, and it just don't get along. But anyway, that's something else we'll talk about a little bit later. What else you got for us there, young man?
All I can say is we have made it thus far in the year, and that's owing to a lot of people doing a lot of work, and I'm, for one, very appreciative that we are where we are. But we have a tough road yet to hoe. We do. And so let's enjoy this holiday season that we have, all the good that comes from it, and keep pushing on, I suppose. That's all I can say. So, anyway, enjoy this holiday season. It's all around you. Donna left the house three times today, going to different places to see people, to practice for the choir, to practice for the handbells. I mean, she's just always on the go. And that's part of enjoying this time of year, is become active in it in some way. Whatever pleases you, don't miss the chance. If it pleases you to sit down and write Christmas cards, that never appealed to me. But I've known people. I'll tell you this one story. When I was living in Richmond, I lived in a walk-up. This place had only 16 apartments in it. And apartment number one on the first floor, there was this little old lady who probably passed many years ago. Her name was Violet. And she caught me coming home whenever I come into the building. She caught me coming in and would peek out the door before I got the first flight of stairs, and she'd say hello. And then we became good friends. You know, she made this special trip, opened her front door, looked up the stairs, saw me ascending the stairs, and she'd say, "Hello, Larry. Hello. How was your day?" So she made that special attempt to, you know, make me feel good. It did make me feel good for sure. So we became friends, and I helped her wash her curtains. She did this every spring and before Christmas in the fall of the year. She'd clean her curtains. She had a special way to do it, very old school. She needed help with it. And so I was happy to do that. And she wanted me once to help her hang her Christmas cards. Now, my mama never hung Christmas cards. She put them all in a box. But Violet, she hung like a clothesline. On this one wall behind her sofa, she had, I think, she had gotten up to, she didn't start off this way, but she had gotten up to six lines. Just a cotton string, you know. And then she'd hang her cards on that, either with a little paper clip or just, if it folded the right way, she'd just hang it over the fold, you know. And she had hundreds of cards. I said once to her, I said, "Violet, how long have you been collecting these?" She says, "I don't collect them. Those have all come in this year." There were hundreds of cards. This is how people used to be with Christmas cards. Anyway, I hadn't thought of Violet in a while. Bless her heart. She's gone on to her reward for sure. She was about 92, I think, when I left Richmond. Gary, you have a good evening, won't you? It's been great talking with you. Hope everybody out there within the sounds of our voice has a good evening. This is KK4JBQ. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, that's like, family reunions. People don't have family reunions like we did a few years ago. And it just seems like it's slipping away from us. But the ones that are missing out are the ones that have never had it and never went to a family reunion and that sort of thing. But then again, you know, we used to write letters, and now we either send a text or an email or something of that nature. But, you know, doesn't seem like anything more personal than a handwritten letter or Christmas card or whatnot. It just means a lot to the folks that receive it. You know, we don't get as many as we used to, but we don't send out as many as we used to either. And so that has something to do with it as well. But do appreciate you hanging and talking with us a little bit this evening, Larry. Enjoyed it, all the pieces, and we'll look forward to doing it again. And if anybody that's listening, you know, today's the 18th, and next week on Wednesday will be Christmas Day. And I will be calling the net, and I'll be interested in hearing what everybody gets for Christmas, you know, especially if it's ham-related. But keep that in the back of your noggin, and if you got a ham radio or a HT or something like that for Christmas, let me know about it next week. But Larry, we'll talk to you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, young man. We'll do it again. 73. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Again, KK4HXB, Earl and Travis West, I'll be negative and negative.
Good evening. KK4HXB, that's Mr. Earl up there in Traveler's Rest. Earl, I guess your ears was burning a little bit. Me and Larry was talking about you earlier. But it was all good there, young man. Appreciate you being here. Glad you being able to get back on the air and join us. And hope you are doing well. I've got one more right to you if he's still around. WB4FEE, Master Dan, down there in Northern Simpsonville. Dan, you and Joan, been up to anything in the last day or two?
Hey, Garrett. KI4DOS, this is WB4 Fox Echo Echo over here in Simpsonville. Not out of the ordinary. Not out of the ordinary. Still going over to the gym 3 days a week and trying to do my little workout and all over there, and miss seeing you. And been intending to get in touch with you a long time before now, but man, things has just been hectic, and I'm sure you know how it is. But don't seem to be enough hours in the day. I was out in the shop tonight till about 9:30, and I give up the driving, you know, a while back, about 4 or 5 months ago now. But I still can't find enough time in the day to get everything done, Harold.
Honey, you know, we give up this, we give up that, and then we say, well, I'm going to devote a little more time to this. And then all of a sudden, where did the time go? You know, I used to get to do more over here than I'm doing now. I don't know. It just goes round and round in circles, it seems like. But I know exactly what you're talking about. It doesn't seem like there's enough hours in a day. You know, Ray used to say years ago, he said, I don't know how in the world I had to, enough time to go to work and get all the stuff I used to get done.
I really understand that, yeah. And I don't even figure out now how I had 2 days a week to drive, Earl.
Exactly what you're saying. Well, it's been, well, Joy and I were talking about it, I don't remember if it was today or yesterday, but I told her, I said, you know, I said, I can do the things that I could do when I was 20, But instead of getting everything done in a day, I get maybe three quarters of it, or somewhere between 50% and three quarters of it done. Now, I can't do it all in one day.
I understand that completely. And I don't even try to get it all done one day anymore. It don't bother me if it don't get done. So I guess that goes with it, Darrell.
I tell Joey, I said, well, if we get it done, fine. If we don't, and it'll wait till tomorrow. If tomorrow don't come, it won't matter anyway.
Roger that. You got that exactly right. Yeah. So, but anyway, I've hung around. I just wanted to say hello and check on you. Like I say, I'm going to try to check in a little more often. If I can just remember to check back here on Wednesday night, especially, and chat with you a few minutes. But I hope you and Miss Joy do have a very special Christmas and all, Gary. And I ain't forgot about that cup of coffee yet, man. We're going to get together here one day. If I have to drive all the way to Easley, meet you over there somewhere there, over.
We'll have to drive that far longer. My old trucks are running, and I'm able to get behind the wheel. But I'm looking forward to it. I told Joe yesterday there's two guys that I've told I wanted to go get a cup of coffee with. You're one of them. I told her, I said, Dan's one, and Ken over in Pickens, KA2AXQ. I told him, I said, he told me back, oh gosh, it's been, I don't know how long ago now, but they were building a Waffle House over there in Pickens. And I told him, I said, well, as soon as they open it up, we'll get together and go get a cup of coffee. Well, I don't know how long that thing's been open over there, but we ain't got in it yet. At least not together. We hadn't had an opportunity to get a cup of coffee, but I'm looking forward to it. I really am. You said you're still going over to the gym 3 days a week. Is old Buddy still going?
I saw Buddy this morning. I talked to him this morning. He's generally there. He's generally still there when I get there, and then he'll leave. He leaves about 15 to 30 minutes after I get there. But Gary. But yeah, he's still coming pretty regular there. Over.
Is he still going like on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or I don't think he goes every day, but I'd love to get over there early one morning and stand and talk with him for a few minutes. Hadn't seen that rascal, gosh, and I don't know how many. It's been several years since I've seen him.
Yeah, Buddy's there. He's there on the mornings I'm there, and that's the mornings I go, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I don't know if he's coming other days or not, but he is there on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, most all of them. But like I say, you'd have to be there. I would catch him before some mornings. Well, some mornings I'd go in there, about a quarter of nine, and he'll be coming out. But I would try to catch him no later than 8:30 there, old.
Got over there real early in the mornings, and he was done with his workout by 9 o'clock, and he was normally on his way home before then, or right about then. And so, but I hadn't seen Buddy in a long time. I'd love to see him, and like I said, just sit down and maybe sit and talk with him for a few minutes. If he's got the time, I know his hands is full, and he's got his plate full, and oh gosh, but I miss all the folks over there. Once I got to going over there, been going over there for several weeks, I got to know quite a number of folks, and I miss seeing them. I was gonna go down and see the folks when my last doctor's appointment was, and I got over there and I had to see another nurse that's there for this clinical trial I'm on. So I got to see her, and then I had to see the doctor. And by this time, it was I needed to get on the road and get back home because of the traffic out there. on Lawrence Road in 85, and so I didn't want to mess around and get in that real heavy traffic because it was in the afternoon. But one of these days, I'm going to get up and come down there and go ahead and see everybody. You know, be down there about 9 o'clock or 9:30 at the latest, and then go in and see the folks that used to be there when I was there and see how many still going.
I hear you. Well, you'd be surprised. There'll still be a few of them there that you knew, and they knew it was coming in every day, though, and I know Monday is real crowded, and then Wednesday is not quite so bad, and then Friday's real light, but I guess they get tired or something. I don't know, but anyway, that's the way it normally runs, and yeah, Monday's normally real crowded. We got a lot of new folks in there, too. I don't even know half of them, man. I'm assuming, you know, I still have to wear my T-shirt once in a while, you know, so everybody will know who I am. That one says Dan the Man on it that John got me about two Christmases. I say for Christmas about 2 or 3 years ago. I wear it about once every 6 months or so, just so everybody don't have to guess who I am, Earl.
That's the way to do it. Well, the gym I'm going to over here now, I got a T-shirt that says Psych Ward, but it says it on the front, says it on the back. And the first day I wore it into the gym, there was about four or five different people says, "I want that T-shirt." I said, "No, you can't have it." I said, "This is mine." And they said, "Well, are you working in the psych ward? Are you a patient there?" And I said, "I'm not going to give you that information either."
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Sometimes you feel like you might be there right over.
But I feel exactly that way.
Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. I understand that fully. Well, Gary, I'm going to let you go, brother. I enjoyed talking with you, and we're going to try to catch you a little more often, okay? And you tell Miss Joy was hello, and hope y'all have a great Christmas there. And we'll try to catch you next Wednesday night if it's where we can, Earl.
We'll do it, and we still got to get together. Maybe we can get together sometime between Christmas and New Year's, which won't give us but a few days. But maybe we can get together between Christmas and New Year's and sit down and have that cup of coffee. I'd love to do that. But you and Miss Jones have a great evening and a wonderful day tomorrow. And if I don't get to talk to you before Christmas Day next week, y'all have a Merry Christmas as well. But enjoyed it, Dan. Look forward to doing it again. And we will do it again if the Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise. But y'all take it easy and have a Merry, Merry Christmas.
Okay, Gary. Same there. And seven dreams to you and all on the net and anybody still listening there. And we will get that clear and we'll talk to you a little later. So KI4DOS, this is WB4 Fox Echo Echo Clear.
Seven dreams there, young man. We'll talk to you a little bit later. I enjoyed it. And we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet, A through Z, for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. No check-ins, so we'll ask one more time for any other check-ins or anybody that would like to make a comment. Call KI4DOS. That's going to about wrap it up this evening. I'll submit my net report here electronically, and we'll close the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 53 tonight. Good net. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling to the best of my knowledge and give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We're our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS Clear.